Get past the people, get past the hitman.
Welcome back to Squared Up, ladies and gentlemen. This week I am here with Jill Stemple, known to Tomato Nation readers as Bean.
Hello.
Jill is a long-suffering Mets fan, and we'll be discussing some of the suffering we can look forward to in the 2011 baseball
Woo!
Season. Jill, how much attention do you pay to baseball stories during the off-season? Do you follow it pretty closely or not really?
Read the sports pages every day, read Mets.com as much as I can deal with the news that it's telling me.
As much as you can cope with, as long as denial protects you.
Yeah, rely on my friends in the daily news sports section to keep me posted. I mean, obviously with all the big news of the managerial change and everything, the search for manager and the general manager, following that closely. I was just, you know, telling you they were giving updates on, starting to give updates on spring training.
Right.
And all of the salvage jobs that they're going to need
yes,
to do.
Exactly.
The latest I saw was an article on Louis Castillo, because I think they still owe him $6 million. And that is sad. The only thing sadder is owing Oliver Perez $12 million.
Yeah, and however much they owe F-Rod,
yeah.
Or K-Rod, excuse me. I mean, this, I was pretty excited about the new GM, but then Alderson, but then Terry Collins kind of seemed like an anticlimax to me. I was like,
yeah, although
I'm sure he's a fine choice, but I don't really.
I mean, one thing I really like in general is this idea of we need to instill a different sort of
zeitgeist.
That's a good word. I just think that
I'm sure someone will email us.
Right. I mean, it's like I definitely would have a beer with Jerry Manuel anytime, but I just think he was a little too zen and laid back. And it's like somebody needs to take a freaking boot and stick it up the ass of like Reyes.
Yeah. No.
Efrod. I mean, the fact that shit went down with Efrod. No.
Yeah.
I mean. And Terry Collins seems like someone who would not rook that kind of beat.
Right.
You know,
no, that's true.
And Alderson as well. I mean, he's a Marine. You know, it's like.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, straighten up and live your life right, guys. Like, have some pride in what you do. It just seemed to be a lot of BS going
just
on.
Nonsense. And well, I don't think I was aware that, that Frankie Rodriguez had some. Let's call it disordered mood issues.
Yeah.
Going back to before he was even with the Angels. Like,
yeah.
I don't think I knew that. And I also.
Yeah, you told me that he had an anger management. Like, I think he got arrested for, like, assault down in Venezuela, right?
Yeah. So. But then there was also the sense, while that story was actually unfolding months ago, that everyone knew about that but the Mets. And
right.
I just sort of have been feeling this last year like the Mets are always the last to know that something's a bad idea. So I'm really hoping, you know, there's a lot of like contracts that they're stuck with until the end of the
right.
season, but I'm really hoping that Alderson makes some sly moves and maybe tries to trade Reyes, who I think
yeah
is never going
to
be quite the superstar that everyone's kind of.
But here's
on.
The thing,
so,
I know you're down on Reyes, and I'm kind of, I wouldn't say I'm up on Reyes, but I'm less down. I know you're in the, like, Reyes sucks, we should trade him while we still can.
I don't think he sucks. I just think he's overrated and there's a
lot
of
shit. But
this
is what
I'm
talking about, the boot up the ass thing. I mean, I think that this year is all about them weeding out. I mean, it's suffering through the big contracts and ditching them as soon as we can. And then figuring out which of the younger players, you know, once you apply the sort of boot up the ass.
Right. Once boot
and now
ass.
I'm not obsessed with asses, but I just think that sort
boots
of,
on the other hand.
Right, boots on the other hand. No, but I just think that once that is like, look, if you want to play here long term, you have to be serious about what you do. You have to come to camp, you know, not 10 pounds overweight, Ollie Perez.
Right.
You know, you have to be freaking serious about what you do. And if you're going to take your talent and throw it away, Jose Reyes, then go do it somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what this year is about. I mean, Reyes, there is the kernel of a, you know, I don't know, Hall of Fame, but a astonishing player.
Yeah, there. Definitely.
But I just think his head is not really screwed on straight.
Yeah, I think his head is not right, and I also worry that given the nature of the injuries that he has had,
that's true.
That one of it's the not... things that made him so special, which was his speed and sort of like explosive, yeah. responsive speed. What is he, 27 now?
Yeah.
Like, he's getting to that point where he'd be starting to slow down anyway. And I think that there is actually a superstar in there. But
yeah.
I'm starting to think that after two managers kind of let him be Jose and whatever, that it might be too late to maximize. Like, you're getting to the end of the potential, and now
yeah.
it's at, like...
Well, I think he definitely has. I mean, you know...
But it would be
people
so...
People aren't really talking about
like,
it, but it's like, yeah, but you're... And if you can't, if Terry Collins doesn't, if Terry and Sandy don't think that you have it in you.
Yeah.
I mean, people do, you know, maybe not shortstops, but a lot of baseball players reach their prime at the age that he's at.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And it's like, if he can't, you know, get serious about his body, I think part of it is you can tell from when he's interviewed and just his attitude, he has that... I'm young, I'll live forever, I'll always be great.
I'm talented,
I don't need to train. I don't need
it.
To be worried about
right.
my hamstring, you know, and it's like, dude, wake up.
Yeah.
You know, you're not even the best shortstop in your division, you
yeah.
know. Hanley Ramirez is like wiping the floor with you.
Yeah.
And he's got his head screwed on backwards too. So it's like
right.
that might motivate him. I think the competition from Hanley Ramirez and
yeah.
Hanley Ramirez constantly showing the Mets up, you know. I think Hanley Ramirez really gets up for it when he plays the Mets because he wants to be better than, you
yeah.
know.
And he is.
And it's like, part of me wishes I want Reyes to fulfill his potential.
Yeah. I mean, that would be better.
That would be the best result for both
for the team. But what I worry
like,
about is
that
he's going to respond to the idea that he has a year to pull it together and show that he deserves to be there.
And then slack
some, some fucking Wilpon is going to be like, great, he's proved it. He's the shortstop of the future. Let's sign him to an 8-year contract, at which time one of his arms will fall off and the team will have to pay him.
Right, but I think this is why they got Alderson there, because he's a grown-up, and I don't, even if a Wilpon said that, I think Alderson would say, okay.
Right, well, this is what we're really going to have to see about, is whether Alderson can, like, resist the meddling from the Wilpons, who really, like,
but I think Fred,
are a little impulsive.
Yeah, it's all about the son, you know.
Yeah.
I think Fred, I mean, I just, every
well,
time
Fred,
I hear
as much
Fred,
as said, like, we shouldn't have.
Yeah. I mean.
And by we, I mean the kid.
Minaya was there a year too long. The second he made that deal with Ollie Perez, I thought he should have been carted off to the nearest mental hospital. I was like, what?
I sort of.
I mean, they should have, if they were going to spend that money, give it to freaking Derek Lowe, you know?
I mean,
he had a really good year with Atlanta. I think he's kind of a douchebag
or
personally.
Or Vasquez. It's
or
not
Vasquez.
Like he was doing anything good.
Where
in the
is
Bronx.
Vasquez? Wither
Vasquez.
Wither Vasquez.
Vasquez.
Call in.
Well, that leads us to one of our next topics, which is not fantasy signings exactly, although some fantasies can be very dark and twisted. My personal Mets fantasy signing, Manny Ramirez.
I think Sarah's lost it.
It's true. Well, okay. Hear me out.
In my defense.
First of all, I just like to say yet again, although I know everyone's fucking sick of hearing me talk about it, that the Jason Bay signing was a fucking horrible idea, and I said it before.
Okay, except
for... He got concussed, hit nothing, and was ugly.
Are we allowed to admit in the podcast that we chose seats at Citi Field based on staring at Jason Bay's ass?
If by we, you mean you...
It's
yes.
a very nice view from that section.
Yes. Hey, I think...
I mean, I would prefer that he gets more RBIs, but The ass alone, I'll give him another year before I hate him.
Inaugural podcast guest John and I selected seats at Yankee Stadium Bayside, I believe, looking at a Braves ass. And he tore his pants that day, so...
So there you go.
It's like a license to print money.
Well, I mean, on the Manny Ramirez thing, I mean, sure, he'd be entertaining, but I think he's poison for a team. And the boot up the ass philosophy, that's not going to work with Manny.
Right. Well...
I don't know how, he kind of, his production dropped off so much with the Dodgers. Was that just...
I think he also had half the season off.
The Mets have had all the steroid issues. He's coming off that steroid suspension.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. I sometimes wonder if, I don't know, it's one of those Giambi situations, and Wither Giambi, Wither Grandpa. We'll get to back to that in a second, but I wonder if it's not one of those Giambi situations where Ramirez, even though he is a clear liability, like to a Keystone Cops degree in the field, if he doesn't hit much better when he has to be playing defense to keep his head in the game, because he's just Manny, and that's how it goes. But I also kind of feel like it's going to be a lost season, kind of. It's going to be a rebuilding time. Right. And it's like, you know
he
what?
He would definitely, I think the sports when writers
when Beltran
in New York
breaks
would,
his hip or whatever the fuck is going to happen.
Beltran's leg falls off.
May 14th, where Beltran, and then, you know, once again, my dad is like, I told you that, with, I don't agree.
I mean, Beltran in his prime was...
I think the Beltran deal was a good deal on paper, and they just didn't know that this was going to happen. It was like Griffey. Oh, hi. Podcat. Hobie has something to add. Yeah. Hobie believes that it's dinner time in the cheap seats and is wrong.
But I think, I mean, maybe I'm just showing myself as the eternal optimist. I mean, Beltran has that sweet swing. I mean, not as sweet as Griffey, but... When Beltran gets in a groove, I mean, he can seriously produce some RBIs.
No, I agree. So, it's just a matter of keeping him in the lineup for two consecutive weeks so he can start putting together some...
He's gotten both knees fixed. It's like, I think for the money they're going to have to pay him anyway, it's
you have to kind of keep
running as much
out
as
there.
You can out of him.
No,
I mean,
I agree.
To him, you know, this is his contract year, so... I'm sure he wants to keep playing. He's going to give everything he's got to try and make it so that he has a job next year.
Well, has there been any discussion about moving him to corner instead of
I think
center?
There has. I mean,
because
they were talking about it pretty openly. I mean, the problem with Carlos and, you know, I call him Carlos because we're best friends. No, I'm kidding.
Seabelts,
we like to call him. But now the problem is he's still got that pride, and that's what, I mean, and again, this is what I think people like Alderson and Terry Collins, Minaya was not good at this, but I feel like they can say, look, you know, we respect you and you were great, but diplomatically you got to do this.
Yeah.
We're not discussing it.
Well,
this is not a, you know.
It's a big outfield. It's not like, what's it called? The juice box. Is that Houston? That little...
Oh, yeah. I don't know which one. Yeah, no.
That's
I mean, City.
Sorry.
We've actually seen for ourselves how freaking massive City Field outfield can be.
It's a lot of ground to patrol.
And in Bay's defense, not only with the Knights' ass, he actually did a pretty damn good job in the outfield last year.
I don't think he's a bad player, but I also don't think you can look at somebody who had a great post-trade bounce second half in Fenway Park and be like, oh, well, let's sign him for City Field and expect the same production. Like, I actually felt bad for the guy because I don't think his power drop-off... Hobie, shut up. I don't think his power drop-off was that bad. Are you a Jason
Bay fan? He, like, really... I mean, he had one of those, like, ridiculous cold spells. Which, it's one of those things, like...
It was like a Teixeira depth.
I mean, karma owes us some major payback this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, we are
Castillo has been taking every steroid they make.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, I kind of like Castillo. I mean, of course, we will never forgive him for the dropped ball in the Yankee game. I just feel bad because it's like a random game in freaking August. The Mets are already out of the playoffs, and they're still showing that clip of, like, Castillo dropping the ball.
And
they're playing, like, the Marlins, and you're like, really?
And Castillo, at least, I mean, he didn't sign himself, and I feel like he always, like, came to play.
Yeah.
He sometimes really sucked at it, but he came to play.
Wow. Hobie really doesn't like Castillo. Hobie would like to differ on Castillo.
Would you like to suggest someone else at second base?
You know who I always wanted them to sign is Orlando Hudson. I thought he would have. And I don't know what his status is because he played with the Twins, but I think it was with a short-term contract.
I feel like I saw this on Hot Stove and he went somewhere in the National League West.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I can't swear to that.
And he really wanted to play on the Mets. I was just like, why can't we get him?
Can't we get Vasquez? I think Vasquez, I don't know if this is a New York thing or a New York in the American League thing. But I think he actually, now it's probably, like, too late. He doesn't want to be in New York, but I think if they had just signed him last year.
I know.
And you know what? There's a bunch of scrap on the Yankees that I think they should try it. And,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, the Yankees raid the Mets. The Mets should pay back their bitch, right?
Yeah. Like, I don't think anyone in the Bronx really ever wants to see A.J. Burnett again. But here's a thing about me is that I find AJ Burnett grossly attractive.
Yeah.
Shut up. And I know.
Well, AJ Burnett.
I know.
AJ Burnett is broken, I think. I don't know.
Change of scenery.
Yeah.
Giant ballpark. National League hitting.
Yeah.
Playing the Nats a bunch of times.
That's true.
He could. At least, because who else do they have? Their rotation is who right now? Pelf, John Neese, who sounds like...
Although Neese, like,
the grind
stepped
with
up.
John Neese.
Yeah.
He was fine. I'm just saying,
we
John
need to
Neese.
Discuss his nose, though.
R.A. Dickey, who is our age, and is knuckleballer.
Yeah.
And then half their good relievers are gone.
I can't believe that.
K-Rod, I'm not sure, is even physically capable of pitching, much less mentally capable of pitching. The Yankees took Soriano. Trevor Hoffman apparently was offered the choice between retiring and going to Queens. Chose to retire.
The Mets offered Trevor Hoffman?
No, I'm joking.
Right.
That he's like at the end of the gangplank, like, you know what? I'm just not.
Well, the one thing the Mets do have in their pocket is that young pitcher who. What is his name? Really young. He's like a fireball thrower. I mean, they used him as like a setup guy.
Oh, God, yeah. What is his name? Shit. All right, email us.
Yeah.
Senile.
But I think they're going to try and convert him to a starter, and he's going to play in the minors this year.
Right.
It was like, it starts with a J.
Not Jair. Jensen.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think he's got some real talent there. And then there's obviously F. Mart.
Right. Well, I don't think it's hopeless, like, forever. I don't think you're looking at a farm system where
it's,
like,
our rotation is
that bleak. But I also think that in the interim, if you can get guys who are under a cloud somewhere else, like, for example, Vasquez and Burnett.
Yeah.
Or, you know, anyone. Some cast-offs that, like, now that Philadelphia has every Cy Young Award winner ever, surely there's
some... What the hell was that?
Average number three starter.
Can we discuss? Yeah. No, I just...
I can't talk.
Yeah, I mean, they need to rebuild their rotation. I mean, Pelf.
Like, for a one-year contract, fine.
Yeah.
Put Burnett in there and just be like, this is the new foot-up-the-ass regime. There will be no punching of fans
in
the clubhouse or in the stands, P.S.
Yeah.
Take off that fugly straw necklace and get your shit together. And if you don't, you're going to the minors and that's it.
But I mean, Burnett has a lot of years left on his Yankee contract, doesn't he? I think he does. Like at least 8 years or so. Cause they signed him to a pretty long-term contract.
No one cares.
But it'd be interesting to see where Vasquez ends up, actually. I thought the same thing last year. I was like, they Mets should have signed him.
Yeah. And now he's going to wind up somewhere. Well, I don't know.
Maybe he'll probably go back to National League, I bet.
But like, who would take him? Really?
But, I mean, we should talk about.
Hobie thinks he should go to the Pirates.
Okay.
Do you have any other suggestions? We should
talk about Santana, too. Oh, yes. The news was he was cleared.
Cleared to throw pre-spring training. So that means that his date has been moved up from June, returning to the rotation in June. Means he'd probably come back sooner if everything goes well, which is good news.
Yeah, that is excellent news. I mean, they need him. They have to have him to anchor the rotation, or they have not much else. I mean, Pelfrey. What? Wither Pelfrey. It's like, this guy has so much potential. You know, we watched him outpitch Zambrano early in the year, last year. I mean, he had that great start, and then I don't know. It's like, he's got all the tools to be great. I don't know if it's a head case thing, or he's not as great as everyone says he's supposed to be.
Who is the pitching coach now for this?
Same one, I think.
Band of brothers?
I think they kept Worthen.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'd be interested. I don't know. I feel like maybe it's a mechanics issue. Because what I know about this would not fill a very teeny spoon. But it just reminds me of, what's his name? Who was like amazing with the Marlins, and then he went to the Tigers and just fell off the face of the earth.
D-Train. That is such a sad story.
And then he's like, it's anxiety. I'm like, well, it is now.
Yeah.
But what struck me about that, they actually had a thing about this on SNY, that Ron Darling's like, am I taking crazy pills? His point of release has dropped like 12 degrees. Why can't they just fix his delivery?
Right.
So I wonder if part of the problem with Pelfrey, because there was kind of an abrupt fall off.
Yeah.
Not right after the All-Star break, kind of in August.
Yeah, leading into the All-Star, I think he was like 10-2 or something. Like, he was one of the few 10-game winners.
Yeah,
I mean, the Mets in general, after All-Star, that's where their season went to die.
Yeah, because Jason Bay got hurt, and then it was, I think, at that point that everyone calculated the odds and was like, well, I can really try, or I can just run out the string, which, that's a problem.
And that's a lack of boot up ass.
Yeah, that I think you really need to.
Situation. Yeah. I mean, there were so many times in the last few years where you were at Citi Field, which you and I both agree, great stadium, yes, awesome place to watch a game, great food, great people. And there's a lot of times you were there and you felt like the people in the stands cared a hell of a lot more about the game than the players. Yeah,
or that it would get to a point in like the fourth inning where they're down 3 runs and you could just feel the air like hissing out of the dugout, that they just had no idea how to get up for a fight and get back in it. And especially once they didn't really have the Nationals to kick around anymore, like when Strasburg would be coming through.
You're right.
Like, that they just, like, they weren't even getting mad about it. It was like, we suck.
Yeah.
Like, no. Pittsburgh. That's where you sort of hang it out in June. And you're like, whatever. Let's see how the kids will do. But, like, I don't know.
And that's why I think, I mean,
when everyone in the stands is, like, have cheering.
Some spitfire in them, yeah.
Well, and hopefully people who are not showing the requisite amount of responsiveness to the boot in the ass will be told that they can try that attitude in Tidewater. Because I really think that was a big problem. Like, I liked Jerry Manuel's press conferences, but I'm with you. That whole, you know, they know what they're supposed to be doing, like, well, but they're not doing it, so.
Well, but I think also just the way he got his job as far as, you know.
And that whole
massacre at midnight sort of thing. I just think he never totally felt comfortable in his job security. And
well, this was a World Series winning manager, no?
Yeah, and a, like, manager of the year, you know. Yeah. But I just think, like, the player coddling has got to stop.
Yeah. Well, and I think it was also a situation, perhaps, where after 3 straight chokes in September, that everyone's just like, well, let's not talk about it. Like, well, we were all here. We all saw it. Yeah. Someone in a managerial position needs to have a fucking meltdown and start throwing the buffet.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, they did the best they could. No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
Like, no. That was the bit, like,
no, they did not.
I watched that game from, you know, between my fingers, and I didn't see any best there. But, no. Yeah, so, I don't know. I mean, we got a lot of problems. I don't really feel like the signing of Mr. Boof Bonser is the kind of marquee.
Yeah, I mean, Sarah and I were doing our research for the podcast, and I'm like, they signed who and what and who's that guy?
And it's like,
I don't know.
Well, they're talking about signing Chris Young, which I think could be a good...
And he's center field.
But he would be a good, what's it called, lineup, table setter. Hobie, what do you have against Chris Young?
It's kind of like with the Giants, you know, it was like after the Barry Bonds era, it's like... Sometimes when you've got young and scrappy and talented and they can come together as a team, I mean, as a sports fan myself, I've always been impressed with teams that are better than the sum of their parts.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting to watch. And that's why I think the Giants got so many fans over the season once, like, you know, the Mets were out. I was, like, rooting for them just because... Great pitching. It's always amazing to watch. And you felt you could see their unity as a team.
Yeah.
And, like, the Mets just have not had that.
Yeah, that's true. And there have been a lot of distracting stories also that I think everyone just
needs to... I mean, it got to a ridiculous proportion last year.
Well, just fucking soap operas with...
I mean, the F-Rod thing, it was, that was just the nadir.
Yeah.
It was like,
far from only, like, what's his name who got traded because apparently he was a racist and couldn't get along with the black folks in the clubhouse.
Oh, Ryan Church, Churchy.
And the fucking Manuel Durfee ongoing drama where he was only hitting 202. And yeah. Then Perez, and I have to say, the way that Perez was... aired out on the last game of the season made me ashamed to be a human being.
Let alone
less a Mets fan. That I was like, whose fucking idea was this? And in the booth, they were enraged.
Yeah.
They were like, this is unacceptable. This is like a war crime.
The UN must be called.
Yeah, we're the victims. I mean, it was just really bad. And then he had that horrible haircut and he's trudging off the field. And I was like, isn't there a Mrs. Perez who can be like, honey?
Yeah.
Just go to law school. Yeah, to Hobie agrees with me.
But, I mean, right? I cannot stand that dude. I mean, seriously. He thinks he's great. He sucks. I mean, you know.
No,
it wasn't right what they did, but it was, I mean, you know, I don't know who made that decision.
It just kind of,
but it was also like, you know what?
The whole season.
He cost two guys their jobs. I mean, he cost Manaea and Manuel their jobs.
Well, but if one of those guys had been like, fine, either you go back to the Cyclones and
yeah.
work this shit out, or you are leaving, like, we'll pay you, that's fine.
Yeah. You know, I mean, somebody had to have the guts to make that decision.
That
and
he kept a roster spot, like, the money's gone.
Yeah.
Get rid of him.
Yeah.
DFA, whatever.
Yeah.
Just, ugh, that the handling of that was just insane. And that was the whole season, was just, like, being distracted by this...
Yeah, it was...
Front office or personality disorder stuff, like, can we try to play 500 baseball? Can someone care about that? So, I'm really hoping. The new regime, I mean, Alderson, I think, is a super smart guy. Ricciardi is a smart guy.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what they build. I mean, I think the Mets
Tankersley. Yeah. Why is everyone they sign named Taylor?
That is like a porn
Taylor
star
Buchholz,
name, isn't it?
Taylor Tankersley.
Tankersley.
Yes, I did order it.
I think the Mets will probably look completely different in 2 years. I mean, maybe David Wright will survive. Maybe.
Well, Castillo will be dead of old age by then.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Somebody, I don't know that Castillo is going to survive the season. I mean, you know, the guy we were reading on Yahoo Sports was saying, you know, depending on how the beginning of the season goes, they might start fire sailing these people. And well, just, and they might just have, to clear the roster spots and be like, you know.
They might have someone not, show up in spring training, too. That,
yeah. It's like, you're not part of our future. Let's try who is, you know. It's yeah. like, don't hold a spot. People are, I think, you know, for a team that's probably not going to make the playoffs, I mean, let's be real, but they, I think it will be very competitive. I think it'll be very competitive on the team because it's about who is part of the future.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I think this division, I don't know, I think there are opportunities in this division because I think Philadelphia maybe didn't make some moves that they should have on the aging slugger. Yeah. Side, and I think the Nationals.
So the Nationals signed Jason Worth, right? Am I yeah. going insane?
No, they yeah. did. Yeah. And it was a that'll fairly be interesting. Price a Rooney.
Yeah, I mean, the My Nationals friend. Have an owner who wants to win now.
Well, but they also have an owner, like, their ownership seems to understand how to try to build a baseball team and has gotten rid of some things that weren't working. I mean, I think they're pretty responsive to reality. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're not going to win. But I think they're going to be a threat in coming years. And Atlanta, I don't know what's going to happen. And Florida, I feel like, dumped a bunch
Marlins,
of people.
Marlins, yeah, but they have good talent.
And they have a lot of pitching, too. Josh Johnson, they hold on to.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a very competitive division.
Well,
so,
but I think it's a very volatile division. Yeah. Because I think last year, everyone's like, oh, the Marlins are going to be in it till the end. Like, okay. It was a little
well, squash. But I think there was some, I mean, obviously the managerial change there probably hurt, you know, hurt them.
Oh my
them.
God, that was pretty trashily handled too.
Yeah. Jesus. And they're just all about getting their new stadium and everything. But well, I just,
I don't know.
I mean, it's just the Mets have underperformed for what they have for the last 4 years. It's like, can we have one season where we're better than we're supposed to be?
Can we perhaps on the below the fold talent side consider a change in the conditioning coaching?
I know.
This isn't really working out. So, I mean, whatever, getting a concussion, it is what it is, but I mean, people are fucking breaking down. Like, it's not okay.
So do you think Angel Begon, that was a freak year, or do you think his numbers will stay up?
I don't actually know, because I'm not sure. I'm not for sure how old he is, and I haven't.
I think he's like mid to late 20s, but I think I want to say like 27, 28.
So he could have just finally gotten in his own with getting to play every day, but I mean, I don't have his numbers in front of me, so I can't really say whether that was like an outlier year. Like, I think that he does work hard. He's responsive to coaching. He's still fast.
Yeah.
He's durable. I am not counting on seeing another year like last year. And even last year wasn't like, whatever, Barry Bonds 2001.
No.
It was just like better than we thought we were going to get.
Well, and I also, I mean, he covered the center field at Citi Field very well, which is not easy. And not every center fielder can do it.
No, it's,
so, I mean, I would definitely, I think that they should move Reyes and... Move Beltran and probably make Pagan center field.
Yeah, or if that's not going to be something that Beltran's agent is excited about.
Or have four outfielders.
Then they should pick up Chris Young and try to retail
Platoon.
Pagan. No, try to get Pagan to, like, I don't even know, the Cubs.
Are the Cubs going to suck this year again?
I think they're going to suck less, but they're going to suck. Is Fukunomi still alive?
I think he is, but not playing very well.
That was such a weird thing that he had that amazing first half of whatever it was,
so
09.
Yeah. I remember I had him in the baseball pool 2 years
ago.
And I hated his guts for that.
I remember that.
I really did not approve of that pick,
except that it was such
like
a long shot. Pinky.
I know. I was just doing the, like... Oh, no one's going to pick him. And then I realized why.
I totally dashed onto ESPN.com. Like, what does she know that I don't? And I was like, oh, nothing. That's
She's
weird.
High.
Drunk baseball pool
Drunk
pickings.
Baseball picking, yeah. So.
Huzzah. Although, at least you did better than I did this year.
Yeah, we won't discuss Sarah's baseball pool
We really,
this
yes. to the fourth decimal point, enough said.
Well, wait. Do we have the Hall of Fame topic we need to discuss.
Yes. Bill Conlon, who is going into the Hall of Fame himself this summer as a recipient of the J. Taylor Spink Award, which, if I'm not mistaken, is a writing or broadcasting award, had an article that Hardball Talk linked to last week, which he basically said that the Hall of Fame, the morals clause when it comes to voting for the Hall of Fame, the whole integrity and sportsmanship thing should be tossed out, because it's allowing the writers to be sort of disingenuous about how they're treating, the issue of PEDs. I have to agree, because I think that if you have Ty Cobb and, you know, various members of the Ku Klux Klan et al. In the Hall of Fame, that insisting on integrity and sportsmanship past a certain point, like, did they follow the rules? Fine. Yes, that should be important. But talking about their character, I think, is not something that the baseball writers are qualified to address. And I think that it leads to a lot of really unattractively snotty and judgmental writing on the subject of Mark McGwire, that it's like, well, if he took steroids and they weren't illegal at that time, and then you feel like you can vote for him, fine. If you don't feel like you can vote for him because you think he doesn't, like, beat the spread in terms of his defense or other things that he offers at the plate, A, please read the Bill James Historical Baseball Abstract because you're wrong. B, that's fine. It's your vote.
Yeah.
But I think that using that clause to avoid confronting the issue of alleged steroid users on the ballot means that you're not addressing it.
Right. I mean, how would you...
Like, what are we going to do with this entire era?
Right. How would you address the steroid issue without using it? Like, you want to say it's more about the issue of breaking the rules at the time. Although, you know,
well, I think
McGwire,
also,
when he was taking, there wasn't a specific rule against
right.
it.
Well, and
right?
I think that's also splitting hairs. But I think that, well, first of all, I think that the Baseball Writers Association needs to expand to include internet people, internet writers of some standing, people who are on TV, like,
yeah.
that it can't just be baseball
newspaper.
Writers, that,
yeah.
you know, people who comment on baseball for 10 years, I think, should be
I saw that Bob Costas is a voter, and I don't think he's ever written a newspaper, so
I think he came out of print,
writing.
And then once you're in, you're in.
Oh, okay.
I can never take your ballot
yeah.
away, which is another problem, Dan Shaughnessy, but I think that there's some denial that it's like, well, I'm never going to put Mark McGwire in the Hall. Like, all right, fine. But you've got a number of other guys, unalleged users that are going to be coming up on the ballot for years and years. And I think that maybe the Hall of Fame or the Writers Association or someone needs to just sort of sit down and be like, look, this era existed. And a lot of these guys were legitimately great players, even without the help. I mean, Mark McGwire hit
right.
49 home runs his rookie season, and he did not weigh 148 pounds.
And that was just his head.
Seriously. Like,
yeah.
He was a big guy who could mash the ball. You know, if you want to leave him off your ballot because he took steroids, that's fine. But if you're really going to do that for every single guy who was mentioned in the Mitchell Report...
Yeah.
I feel like then
one from that era is going to be in.
Yeah.
I mean,
Pete Rose is in the Hall of Fame. They have, like, exhibited material. He doesn't have a plaque, but he's in there.
Yeah.
So what exactly does this do? What does it accomplish to look at Rafael Palmeiro and be
right.
like, well, you took steroids, so I'm not putting you on my ballot? Like, that's a valid choice, but you have to look at the big picture. I think in terms of how are we going to talk about this era? How
yeah.
are we going to put the statistics
in context?
I think
that's maybe one question. I mean, as far as the whole integrity part, you know, obviously it's like a feel good thing. And your point about Ty Cobb is a good one, but part of baseball's image problem is I mean, aside from steroids, that it's just a bunch of spoiled brats who
right.
are not fun to watch because they're, like, whiny and entitled and, like, not having any pressure to have integrity as a player. I think the league would find that to be a problem. But...
Well, I think that there's... I think that league rules, like conduct unbecoming or unsportsmanlike conduct, is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then to vote for the Hall of Fame based on that when, you know, Babe Ruth missed 3 weeks of the season because he had untreated syphilis. This is a mark of character. Babe Ruth saved the game. Babe Ruth was great. I love Babe Ruth. I think he was hilarious. Children loved him. He loved yeah. them. Like, I think basically he was a good guy.
But he, I mean, we know, you and I, having read our share of behind-the-scenes baseball books and, you know, being a huge fan of the 86 Mets, I mean, that was not a bunch of upstanding characters either.
And how do you think Keith Hernandez wound up on the Mets? Because Whitey Herzog was like, you have a drug problem, and I don't feel like dealing with your shit.
Yeah.
Try it in New York. Good luck.
Yeah. And I hear the Coke's better there anyway.
So you're the most famous person to come out of my town did time for that shit. And Willie Wilson.
Woo. Yeah. I mean, you know.
I mean, I feel like...
They're obviously selling smoke and mirrors as far as wanting to think that everyone in the Hall of Fame are these upstanding citizens.
And also wanting baseball to be this pastoral sort of unsullied game. Excuse me, I have to Diet Coke belch.
Nice.
Speaking
attractive.
Of sportsmanship and character. Brack. I often get frustrated with this idea that, like, once upon a time, baseball was this wonderful sort of rated G, upstanding, goofus and gallant style entertainment, which I think is willfully naive and you have to deal with, you know, it's played by human beings.
Yeah,
I agree with Bill Conlon. I'm not sure I have a solution.
I agree. I see your point. I don't know that I completely agree with removing the integrity tag, but I mean, I think that they never will.
Right. They need to put in a...
They don't want a headline that's like, Hall of Fame removes integrity.
No, yeah.
You know, they're never gonna...
Or they should put in something specific that's like, you know, spoke at X number of charity events.
Right.
Donated X number of jerseys.
Right.
Made X number of trips to earthquake-torn Haiti.
Right.
You have qualified for the integrity stamp.
Ka-chink. Not a horrible racist. Yay.
Probably. That we can tell.
Didn't possess or try to sell cocaine to teammates. Good for you.
Did not beat up father-in-law or with random lady on golf course.
Yeah, Johan.
All right, speaking of classy, let's wind up the episode with a quick round of Death is Not an Option. Aging, job hunting, designated hitter category. Your choices are Manny Ramirez, Jim Thome, who actually does have a job now that affects your choice at all, Vlad the Impaler Guerrero, Johnny Damon, my favorite and not yours, Jason Giambi.
Sarah has a crush on Jason Giambi.
I do.
And has admitted she would sleep with him.
Yes. So my Death is Not an Option will be between Giambi and AJ Burnett.
So wait, can we review Death is Not an Option rules quickly?
Yes. You have to pick one. Death is Not an Option.
One to have on your team. One, two.
Well, let's start with one to have on, one to have on your team. So of Manny, Thome, Vlad, Damon, or
I would probably pick Damon.
Mm, okay.
I mean,
play defense.
I think he's a good teammate. I think he's a good run producer. He's breaking down a little bit, but he always gets up for the big game, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And to me, being a good teammate, I mean, Manny's a disaster.
Agreed.
Thome, maybe. He just always came across to me as like a real asshole.
Well, he already re-signed with the Twins, I believe, so he's off the table.
Vlad, I love Vlad, but...
Vlad had a great year last year, too. They thought he was finished, but he wasn't.
Between Vlad. I did love how Vlad stuck it to the Yankees one last time in the playoffs. That was sweet.
Bad ball hitter. I think Damon would be the best Met because, unfortunately, there is no DH.
He would be a great Met, actually, I think. And I think he would fall, like, he would help with the boot and ass philosophy a little bit, you know?
Yeah, definitely. A little cowboying up.
And he's got a couple rings, you know, people listen to a guy with some rings.
That's true. And he's used to playing on teams that should be doing better than they are. I think that's...
Although he seemed to get all into being a Tiger last year. I'm surprised they didn't re-sign him.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal... You know what? I think he just wanted too much money. I think maybe he's a little bit...
He's got that whole...
It's round two of like, money. I'm not in my 30s. What? Like, oh, honey.
Yeah.
But you are, Blanche. Yeah.
I can't believe the Red Sox were going to take him back. Talk about the abused partner syndrome.
Oh my God, seriously.
No, we want you back, Johnny.
I know, and what of all teams to be doing that, like, but then they re-signed Faratek. I understand it was a one-year contract, whatever, but A, I fucking hate that guy, and B, what, did he hit 144 last year?
Wow, I don't think I saw that news.
Make him a hitting coach. This shit is over.
Who's catching for the Mets this year?
T-hole?
T-hole.
It's pronounced T-hole. I just always call him T-hole. He showed some promise.
Yeah, I don't hate him, but they also signed like a veteran to
Capuano?
No. Chris Capuano, I think he's a pitcher.
Okay.
Gutierrez?
Maybe.
Who I don't know. I mean, this is the problem. It's like, who? What?
Well, it's always, you think that it's one guy. It's like, oh, yeah. That guy. No, oh, wait. And it's like, oh, no, Delman's the one.
No, it's his cousin.
Yeah. Like, oh, Taylor Buchholz. Oh, no, the other Buchholz.
We have Jailer.
It's like the, when you went to see the Newark Bears, like, 8 or 10 years ago, and they'd have, like, you know, Bobby Bonds Jr., Ozzie Canseco.
You're like, who?
Purple Reigns. You're like, who the fuck? It was like the cast off third brother Olympics. Bobby Bonds Jr., oofa, that boy.
Not so much.
Could not hit even independent league pitching.
I feel bad for those guys.
I know.
So,
Beautiful Newark,
trying to work it out.
And failing.
And a moment of silence for Jose Lima.
Oh, Jose Lima.
I was sad all the year-end roundups had him.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know Superman's mother died today? Susanna York?
I saw that.
I wish you had not asked me that.
I saw that come through the wire. Yeah, it's crazy. Did they ever figure out what Jose Lima died of? I mean, I knew they said it was massive heart attack, but was it like?
Yeah, no, I think it was just
brought on by
those
or
things. I don't think so. I think he had a heart like some abnormality or something. Yeah. It was one of those things where 98% of the time it's no big deal, and then the other 2%.
He was a crazy, crazy man.
Yeah.
Lima time.
Lima time. Oh my gosh. So okay, let's before we wrap up. Bring back one Met of the past to the current rotation.
Okay.
Or not even the rotation, just the current lineup. The roster.
Like, in their prime?
Sure. Or even if they're still active, you can bring back a still active player.
I mean, God, what I wouldn't give for Doc Gooden in his prime.
Well, seriously. His prime was short.
That's exactly what we need in the rotation.
Yeah. Although, he's still younger than Castillo. Bring him up. Do you know that guy has grandkids, Dwight Gooden?
Oh my God, so sad.
I know.
He's
not that much older than we are either.
Okay, you're going to totally laugh your ass off, but I mean, I miss Mike Piazza's beautiful, towering home runs.
True.
I mean, you know.
They're fine.
And I miss the I'm Not Gay press conferences.
Oh my God.
Really? I mean, but I just don't, I mean, and that's what they, that's what you wanted from Jason Bay. And I mean, that's the beauty of baseball.
For him not to be gay.
No, the towering, beautiful home runs.
Yes. We need some towering, beautiful home runs. You know what?
You know, Piazza would deliver them when you needed them to, you know?
Yeah.
He was good at the dramatic game saving, you know?
That's true. Yeah, we need a bomb thrower. That's what we need.
We do. I mean, someone electric like Doc. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Or Chris Benson. Just kidding.
No, you know who I miss is Joe White. Wait, the saver? Who was the reliever who I had a crush on? Who was Smith. Like 12 and from yes. Ohio? Yes.
Yes, Joe Smith.
Joe Smith, call in.
Oh my God. Actually, I believe this is the only team he's not yet pitched for. Kyle Farnsworth.
No!
Late.
No!
Who else do we have? And he will get in some fights and rally the troops.
That's true. Kyle, I don't want to have to root for Kyle Farnsworth. Please don't make me.
I think he would do well in the National League now that he's 58 years old and his... Yeah. Signed with his 88th team in 4 years.
That is true.
I love how he just keeps that. They're like, wow, Farnsy. He Farnsy. Throws pretty hard. Like, yeah.
And I like
that. Not for strikes.
He always is like, seems like he's on the verge of an implosion to me, though. I mean, yeah. He has that messed up personal makeup, you know? Like, he's a reliever, yet he's emotionally fragile. That is a very bad combination.
It's true. He really looks good in those goggles, though. Oh, this is just my...
God.
And
on that note... Well, this is super fun.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on Squared Up. And remember, you can email us your guest and topic suggestions, bunting@tomatonation.com. Make sure to check our show notes for various links to stories that we've mentioned here. Chris Benson, if you're still in the league, please call Sandy Alderson.
Chris Benson.
And if your wife can play any second base, we'd love to talk to her.
Yes, absolutely.
And thanks again for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Squared Up.
Bye.